And we welcome you to Cincinnati, Ohio, where today the Pirates conclude their 2018 season against the Cincinnati Reds. Game number 161 for the Pirates. They will not play the game that was, as it turned out, to be canceled a couple of weeks ago against the Marlins at PNC Park. So it is the Reds and the Pirates today in Cincinnati. Clay Holmes on the mound for Pittsburgh against Sal Romano. Greg Brown here in the booth with you, and our Pirates general manager right here with us. And Neil, we've got a lot to get to in a half an hour in our final show of the year, and just want to get your general thoughts. First of all, we'll probably rehash it even at the end, but about where the club stands right now at 81-79. So turns out to be a winning season, even though you'll play just 161 games. Thoughts, comments about this season?
Well, obviously, first and foremost, not good enough. We're not headed to the postseason. We're not in a position to win a World Series, and as a result, 81 wins are 81 wins, but that's not the goal. The goal is to be playing October baseball. The goal is to be in a position to win a World Series. While there are some really positive signs to take away from this season, any number of them, as a matter of fact, and yes, the first, the second, and the fifth best records in the National League are in our division. We had an above 500 record in our division. We had a very good record against the American League. We didn't take care of business in the National League East and the National League West. We were a very inconsistent team. You look at our overall statistics, and our pitching is in the middle of the pack. Our offense is in the middle of the pack. We didn't hit many home runs, but we're in the top three in the National League in terms of doubles and triples. Our walk rates and strikeout rates, strikeout rate is terrific. The walk rate's not where it could be and not where productive offenses typically are. You look at the pitching, and yes, the overall numbers are middle of the pack, but the starting rotation, we've got two of the top 10 in the National League in ERA, two of the top 14 in Major League Baseball in ERA, and Tyone Williams. We've got five of the top 85 pitchers in ERA. So that means the rotation was very good. Our back end of the bullpen, that back five matches up with the upper echelon of bullpens in baseball. What it means is our middle guys and our spot starters, we weren't good enough. And so those dragged down that top five rotation, top five bullpen guys, the rest of that group was not good enough. Offensively, we were very inconsistent. Again, some positive signs. On the horizon, as we look at next year, you can go, and we've talked about it the last couple of weeks, you can go 7 of the 8 positions and reasonably project that we're going to be better offensively. You can look at the defense, and we've got significant areas for improvements on the corners defensively. In the outfield, Dickerson had a terrific year defensively. Marte showed signs of being that gold glove defender again, and Polanco got better as the year went on. You look at the youngest position player club in baseball, one of the 10 youngest pitching staffs in baseball, a lot of guys that are on the right side of their development curve, and there's a lot of areas we can. There's also a lot of areas we need to get better.
Neil, you talk about how you think that the offense can project to be better offensively. How is that going to happen in your mind, and in terms of the defense, how does that improve?
Well, the offense, we get Colin Moran to take that next step. Over the last 2 months, Colin's an above average offensive performer, meaning he's above 300, he's above 800 in OPS, and we're starting to see some of that pull power that he had in the minor leagues last year, starting to understand what this league is doing, starting to make an adjustment to this league, and that is reason for optimism heading into next year. It's not just a good month, it's a good final 2 months. In Josh Bell's case, again, starting to see some of the signs of that guy that we believed was going to be a good hitter with 30-plus power, 30-plus home runs this year. And they both need to continue to get better defensively. Josh, the ground balls continue to get better. The throw is something that continues to work on. The picks, the positioning, the feel of the game, those are things that he's all learning. Collins very aware that the speed of the game was more than he was anticipating, both offensively and defensively, and how do we get his first step better? Again, he catches it, it's an out. He's as dependable a reliable thrower as you'll find in baseball. When he catches it, he puts the ball where it's supposed to be. His 5-4 pivots are getting better, and he's going to spend a ton of time this offseason just working on that first step, working on ways to be better off the bat, which will increase his range. Defensively up the middle, Adam Frazier is going to be a work in progress at second base, but he's shown, other than the one game here recently in Chicago, that he can be a nice major league second baseman. Defensively, shortstop, we're going to have to, whether it's we bring Jordy back, Kevin Newman continues to get better. He was better in the minor leagues defensively than he's shown so far here. So you like to think we can get better there. And again, offensively, the outfield is just, it's overall really offensively, it's the consistency. And at stretches of time, we were among the more productive offenses in baseball. At stretches in time, we were among the least productive offenses in baseball. So both sides of the spectrum were there. We weren't just a solid, steady, average offense. We were either really good or we were not very good. And there's a lot of things that we can do to get better there.
Is this a disappointment this year for you? Or looking back when the season started, did you have it in mind that a 500 season would be this is in your internal projections, that the 500 season would be maybe even above what your projections were?
This is not a good season for us. I think a lot of our fan base at the start of the year, if you had said, hey, we were going to fight for the playoffs and be eliminated in the final, 10 days of the season and have an above 500 season, again, hopefully we'll win 82 today and eliminate the, you only won 161. Hopefully we can eliminate that by, and today's going to be an interesting game with a piecemeal of position player and pitchers, and that's the other part of our strong September. I think we had top 7 or 8 records in baseball the last 30 games, and that's with a large number of guys that we've either shut down because of workload or shut down because of some nagging injuries that it wasn't worth dragging out there. We've had some guys legitimately get hurt in Santana and Polanco, and yet we've played right with our division opponents, the Cubs, the Brewers, and the Cardinals, as they've been fighting for a playoff spot here in September. We've played right with them, and we've beaten up on the teams that had lesser records than us. So, again, I think if you ask our fan base, if you had told our fan base on opening day that we were going to be in a playoff hunt, relatively speaking, and be above 500 in September, I think some, given the narrative that was out there, one, that we were tanking, which was completely inaccurate and inappropriate, candidly, and two, that we had just traded away our two best players, my guess is that there would have been some positive reactions to that. Again, still not good enough. In our minds, we believed we would be in September with a chance to position ourselves to win a World Series, and despite some good stretches, we had some not-so-good stretches that knocked us out of that. So 81 wins has never been the goal. 82 wins has never been the goal. A plus 500 season is not what we're looking for. We're looking to position ourselves to win a World Series year in and year out.
We'll continue with the Pirates general manager, the Neil Huntington Show from Cincinnati, the final show of the year, final game of the season for the Pirates and the Reds. More to come on the Pirates Baseball Network. And we welcome you back to Cincinnati, Ohio, Pirates and Reds today, final game of the year, final show with Pirates GM Neil Huntington. And Neil, as the Pirates and the Reds get ready to finish this season, we can't not leave this show without asking you about Jung Ho Kang. What an incredible ride it has been. A lot of ups, a lot of downs for him. You decide to bring him up. He pinch hit on Friday, and his first time in the big leagues in almost 2 years, and he singles, and then he starts in last night's ball game and goes 1-for-4. What does the future hold for Jung Ho Kang? What are the options for him and for you and the Pirates?
Well, the cleanest is that we pick up his club option for next year, and he comes in to compete, to be on our club, to play a significant role on our club. And, again, 2-for-5 gives us a few data points, gives us a few opportunities to see the bat speed. Obviously, the power is still there, as he's shown in batting practice, the range, the arm, the hands, how all those have worked. And he continues to be a better performer at the major league level than he is in AAA, as we experienced a couple years ago or 3 years ago when he was coming off his knee injury. Really struggled in AAA. Came back to the big leagues and hit 2 home runs in his first game back in the big leagues. And, again, has had arguably better swings here than he had in some of his time in AAA. So the easy answer is we pick up the option as we go through this offseason, understanding some of our young players that are getting into their arbitration years, and they're going to get more expensive, and they're going to take up larger portions of our available resources. How does Kang fit in that? We had more flexibility looking back with Freese and Rodriguez and paying them similar dollars. We had fewer players making significant dollars, and so that's going to play a factor in it. We would love to have Gong return to us. We'd love to have him come in here and compete. And if he is the guy that he was pre 2 years removed, that's an interesting player, and so we'll continue to stay with him. Part of the reason he came up was we wanted to respect the work that he'd put in. We wanted on the field, we wanted to respect the work that he's put in off the field to make amends for his challenges and for the 2 years where he wasn't able to help us, a year and a half because of his issues and a half year essentially because of injury. So we're absolutely open to his continued growth off the field and his continued return on the field, trying to project where he's going to be. Again, it's difficult to say that he will be the guy that he was 2 years ago, but it's also a challenge to say he won't be. And we want to remain open-minded to it. Right-handed power would be a nice addition to this club. Continued progression from Bell and Moran on the corners would be nice additions to this club. So we're open to Gong. We're open to seeing if there is something that makes sense for us this offseason, and we'll keep that door open. He's interested in coming back. We just need to see if there's a business connection to happen.
Neil, is there a way that you and his agent or agency can discuss, because of what's happened the last 2 years, I think it's a $5.5 million team option to pick up for next year. Could you discuss the possibility of an incentive-laden contract that bring him back for a couple years, and maybe if he performs to that level, he gets paid?
Well, the challenge we have is that under the original deal, Gong was going to be a free agent after the 2019 season. And that's typically the way that international free agents work. They don't get into the 6 years before 6 years of major league service before they become free agents. They typically sign a shorter deal, a 2 year deal, a 3 year deal, a 4 year deal, and they become free agents at the end of that contract. The contract isn't about major league service. The contract dictates when he's eligible to be a major league free agent. In his mind, he wants to be a free agent after the 19 season, so a multiple-year deal may be a bit of a challenge. An incentive-laden deal, we'll see. We'll see where the business conversations take us. Again, he's expressed interest in remaining. We've expressed interest in having him remain. The easy answer is pick up the $5.5 million option. The more challenging answer becomes, is there something in between that makes sense, whether it's for a year or a year plus? And those will be conversations that happen after the season. The typical process would be, if we don't pick up the option, he'll want to explore free agency to see if there's one team, and that's all it takes is one team sometimes to give a player more or to find the deal that the player wants. But again, there's interest in bringing him back, and we have interest in bringing him back, and now we just work through the business side of it after the close of the season.
Neil, you know you're going to get questions about what that payroll is going to look like. I mean, it's a fascination of Pirate fans, has been for a long, long time. Right now, I think at this moment, I think the Pirates are 27th out of 30 in terms of payrolls. You've said often that you're never going to go spend the type of money, obviously, that the Yankees, Dodgers, and big market clubs spend. But will you have an opportunity to go out to the free agent market and seek maybe a bat or two, a Jung Ho Gong or others?
Well, and I understand that when I talk about payroll, it's like nails on a chalkboard for the fan base. I do understand that. I appreciate that. The reality is there is a direct correlation to your market size and your revenue. And there are teams that exceed revenue. We were one of those teams when we were good. Our market size is 28th in baseball, I believe, is the last time I looked at it. So typically our revenue should be 28th because of our great fans, because we put a good product on the field. We were well above that, and that allowed our payroll to go well above what our expected revenues would be. But there is a direct correlation between your market size, your attendance, your revenue, and your payroll. And this year, what's interesting is again, I believe all 10 postseason tickets are punched. This is the smallest number of top 10 payrolls in the postseason this year. It's 5. So if you have a top 10 payroll, you have a 50% chance of being in the postseason. Typically, it's 6. More often than not, it's 6 or 7. So only 5 of the top 10 payrolls are going to be in the postseason this year, the 1st, the 3rd, the 4th, the 6th, and the 9th. So there's some teams that spend an awful lot of money this year that are not going to play in October. 7 of the teams, admittedly, are in the top half of payroll. But there are 2 bottom 10 teams in payroll in that are going to make the postseason this year, one being the Brewers and one, the A's, are a bottom 5 payroll. We had the second best record in baseball from 2013 to 2015, and I believe we were a bottom five payroll during that time frame. Money is not the only answer to getting yourself to the postseason. It makes life a little bit easier. It gives you a larger margin for error. But every single year, there are teams that are bottom five, bottom 10 payroll that are postseason, that do make the postseason and give themselves a chance to win the World Series. So as we look at the payroll question and answer, our answer is we're going to work to maximize every dollar that we have and to do it effectively and efficiently and work to get back to the postseason, work to draw more fans back out because we're a good team and a winning team and a team that has a chance to win a World Series, and then pour that money right back into the club. So we have to do the best with what we're given. We have to draw the fans back out by putting a good team on the field, and we believe in this young group. We believe in our young starting rotation, the young back end of the bullpen, the young position player group. These guys are on the right side of their development curve. We believe they're going to grow and get better. Young players tend to get better, and we win one more game a month. We're fighting for a wild card spot. We figure out a way to win two more games a month, and we're fighting for a division spot. And consistency, development, myself getting better, and every single one of our members of the Pirates organization getting better, we believe we'll be back in a spot where we're fighting for a World Series come September, October.
Neil, before the last break, you mentioned that the suggestion by some coming into this season that the Pirates were tanking, it became a national narrative. You talked about how inappropriate it was. Why is it inappropriate to strip it down completely? Just thinking about what other clubs, even the Brewers to a degree, did that a couple years ago. They got rid of the contracts, and then they were praised because they spent so much money this offseason because they had stripped it down to the point where they could afford to bring in a lot of big contracts this year. So why not use that model?
Well, we've done that, and that was the 8, 9, and 10 model, where we traded every player that was nearing free agency for young talent. We added to that talent in whether it was via those trades. We signed some targeted free agents. And again, in 11 and 12, we were in a position at the All-Star break, at the trade deadline, to add. We were either in first place or deep within a wild card hunt or a division hunt. We had poor Septembers each of those 2 years, so those years feel a heck of a lot worse than they were. 13, 14, and 15, obviously postseason bound. And we're not saying that teams that strip it down are bad. My point was more the inaccuracy of the tanking narrative, and that you look at the teams that were most strongly accused of tanking. One of them is going to win 97 games, 98 maybe. One's going to win 89 to 90 games, and one's going to win 81 or 82 games. And those teams were the ones labeled by the external experts as tanking. That's pretty far away from tanking, or we're just really bad at it, one or the other. I'm not sure. I am sure what it is, but that's not tanking. And so the cyclical nature of the game is the same now as it was 20 years ago, as it was 50 years ago. You have teams that are cycling in and cycling out, that are working through the draft, that are going to make good smart trades with players nearing free agency, that are going to sign opportunistic free agents, and that's where we believe we are. We believe we have a good young core. We believe this group is going to continue to get better. We believe we can be opportunistic with our additions and be the 13 Pirates, the 14 Pirates, the 15 Pirates, the Brewers of this year, the Royals of past years, the Indians of past years, the A's of this year, where we're a bottom 10 payroll that has a legitimate chance to get deep into the postseason.
And we're back with the Pirates general manager, the Neil Huntington Show, finale of the 2018 year, and we're chatting about the 2019 Pirates and looking back at the 2018 club as well. Neil, Corey Dickerson, do you think he's Gold Glove worthy?
The season that he's had this year, he certainly is deep into the consideration. The challenge for Corey is going to be reputation. He's going to have to overcome a reputation of not being a great defender. We believed coming into this year he would be an average, if not a little better defender, and he certainly exceeded that expectation because of the hard work, because of the time, energy, and effort that he's put into it, because of the pitch-by-pitch focus. He's played a really good left field this year. Unfortunately, some of Gold Glove is reputation-based, and guys tend to win the award repeatedly. But in terms of if you just take a step back and say what type of year did he have defensively this year, he absolutely deserves to be in that conversation.
He is going to be the left fielder next year, and do you consider him overall maybe one of your better deals that you've maybe ever made?
I don't spend a lot of time on ranking the good ones. I spend a lot more time on the ones that haven't worked and understanding what didn't work and why didn't they work and where can we learn from that. So he's certainly been a really good addition to this club. He's going to finish the year over 300 and I think over 800 with an OPS and play a very good defensive left field. What's exciting about the Corey Dickerson and the Starling Martes and the Gregory Polanco's of the world, there's still more in here because Corey did have a very tough stretch coming off that hamstring. He made a strong adjustment in his game to be a better hitter and to cut down his strikeouts. And there's a happy medium in there somewhere where we can benefit from the reduction in strikeouts, but we can see the power, and he can be an extra base hit machine, and especially in our ballpark. And so, yeah, we're looking forward to what Corey Dickerson can do in year two with the Pirates.
Is Francisco Cervelli okay, just shut down for the last three?
He is. He's fine. He's had a very good season and wanted to give Diaz and Stallings some at-bats here late in the year.
And do you anticipate that he and Diaz would be the two, and then again Stallings would be kind of the third stringer? And are you confident that, and that really we discussed it so many times this year about Cervelli, almost at times a flip of the coin whether he could make it through a week-long stretch. And then it turns out the last few weeks, September, has been a really good, healthy month for him.
Yeah, that's the hard part with the concussions is he's continued to work to find a better mask or different things that he can do to try and stay healthier. He's got some ideas, and we've got some ideas that we've shared with him on his off-season program to try to continue to enhance that. He does. He takes a lot of foul balls, and it seems like he takes a lot more than others. Part of that may be our staff. Part of that may be the elevated four seam does tend to get fouled off, and when it gets fouled off, it tends to be closer to the mask. But it's a great pitch in the game right now, and we've got some guys that are learning how to utilize it. We are comfortable with Cervelli and Diaz as we look forward. Jacob Stallings is, our Triple A team had two of the four Triple A All-Star catchers from the International League, so that tells you a little bit about the state of catching in the game. Jacob is a terrific game caller, terrific connector with our staff, and our guys really do enjoy throwing to him. So between the three, we like those guys a lot. LaVarnway is a veteran that had a really good offensive season. The challenge of both of those guys is they're out of options, and so how do we maximize the opportunity? Do we go with three catchers next year? I mean, those are all decisions and discussions that we'll have and make this offseason.
Neil, the wild pitches, more than any team by far in baseball, and one of the worst years for a Pirates pitching staff in history. Is there a way to figure that one out? Because that cost the Pirates a lot of runs.
It did, and that did hurt us. As we look at blocking efficiency, there were a lot of pitches where the catchers just had no chance. And how do we work with our pitchers to take that spike breaking ball, that buried breaking ball away? Because we do want to get hitters to chase. We just bounced them in the opposing batter's box at times, or we held onto a fastball for too long and spiked it, or we held onto a changeup for too long and spiked it. So there is some benefit that we can gain from the knowledge. There are some second-year pitchers that maybe will be able to control the adrenaline, the emotion, and have better feel and better command next year. And there are some things we can continue to do with our catchers to improve the efficiency of those balls that they could have blocked that maybe we missed. But no question, it hurt us this year, the number of balls that went to the backstop and the number of bases that we gave to the opposition.
Do you anticipate all the coaches coming back along with Clint Hurdle, or is that something you have to determine a few weeks after the season?
Yeah, we are in the midst of in every department, myself included, of some self-evaluation, of some departmental evaluation of areas that we can get better, strengths and challenges, alignment, and we're working through that process, and I work through that process diligently with Clint as the season winds down. Our focus has been on finishing strong, putting this team in a position to have as good a year as we can, but as importantly, build on some momentum as we head into the offseason and for next year.
And our final segment on the final show of the Neil Huntington Show is next from Cincinnati on the Pirates Baseball Network. Less than 5 minutes left on our final show with the Pirates general manager. Thought it might be a nice time to kind of wrap things up with this, Neil. You've talked to enough Pirate fans both positive and on the fence, disgruntled over the years. I've seen you do it in person. I know that you answer emails all the time. I've talked to enough people who've talked about how kind you are with your time. From a baseball perspective, as we look to, all of us, look to try and get people back into the fold for 2019, after what, you know, I really thought was, and you kind of touched on the inappropriateness of the narrative about tanking and such. What do you tell a Pirate fan, maybe he's on the fence, or she, and a family, about coming to 2019? Why? Because I don't think the Pirates are sincere about winning. Until they show me that they really want to win, and that owner, then I'm not going to the ballpark.
That's a great question, and I go back to 13, 14, and 15. I go back to the Brewers this year with where they are, to your point. They spent on Kane's contract, but they spent because they had stripped it down prior to that. And there is a cycle in baseball. And we, over the last 10 years, or since Clint has been here, I guess the last 8 years, we have the 10th best record in baseball. So there is good baseball being played in Pittsburgh, three of those years, playoff years. But we understand we have to find out a different way to draw people out. And we've got to get over that 2.5 million fan mark for the first time. And we have to earn that appreciation. We have to earn their willingness to spend those hard-earned dollars by coming to the ballpark. It's the best ballpark in baseball. We have a good young team. The narrative about what we were looking to do this offseason, we weren't trying to win, we weren't looking to win, was false, but the narrative took a life of its own. It was false in Oakland, it was false in Tampa Bay, it was false with us. And every year there are teams that exceed the external experts' expectations, and even this year a little bit we've done that, but not enough to be a postseason team. And these players show up every day to win every game that they play. The staff shows up every day to help these players win every game that they play. And we go at it every year with the intent that we want to put this team in a position to win a World Series, and we're not going to be able to do it every year, and we've fallen short the last three. But this is a fun group. This is a talented group. It's a young group, and we are going to get better. They are going to get better, and we believe we can finish next year. We'll be headed to October baseball and hopefully hosting the first round of the division. Not a wild card anymore, but the first round of the division playoffs in our beautiful ballpark in front of our great fan base.
Before long, we'll see you right back here, March 28th. Look forward to it.
It's amazing, Brownie. The first show seems like it was just a couple of days ago, and now here we are to wind up. But thank you. I appreciate it. I always enjoy doing the show with you, and thank you for everything.
Thank you so much, Neil.